What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Man, what a week it's been. What a week it's going to be. What a night it's going to be. This is the Army of Smartness podcast. I'm your co-host, Ryan. Today on the show, Mr. CM Punk. We're talking about him, yes, yet again. Might be coming to WWE, might not. Tony Khan trolling the hell out of Vince McMahon and WWE in general on Twitter. This, of course, is all over the NXT versus AEW ratings war that happened on Tuesday night. Christian Cage and Adam Copeland go at it a little bit, not really. And he says some nasty, nasty things. Plus, we got Ava Rain and Paul Heyman talking about the bloodline, all this and more, including I did it for The Rock. That's right. We're going over Rikishi running over Stone Cold Steve Austin back in October 9th. What year was that, JD? That was a long time ago. It was 2000.
2000, wasn't it?
Yeah. Speaking of JD, this is my co-host. JD, how you be?
Well, I only want to see Paul Heyman with that Ava Rain. As you said, we are talking once again about Chicago-made chick magnet Punk, briefly. We won't be talking about him too much anymore. It doesn't seem like, maybe it's not for a while, but we'll get to that. Yeah, big day, particularly on the baseball front. Here's something I want to talk about, near and dear to mine and your heart both. The Atlanta Braves, they're in full staving mode. We are in staving mode tonight, staving off elimination in game, four of the National League Divisional Series against your Philadelphia Phillies. This is where you boo, Ryan. That'd be where you boo.
Boo.
All right, thank you. Ran across an interesting stat earlier today, an interesting statistic, if you will, because you know we're all about the numbers around here, except for when we're not. The five best records in baseball, the teams with the five best records in baseball are combined 1-12 in this postseason. That one, of course, belonging to your 2021 world champion, Atlanta Braves. But yeah, the Orioles swept. The Los Angeles Dodgers swept, and it was hilarious. In the previous round, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or Rays, excuse me, I'm sorry, I get my Tampa Bay's confused. Tampa Bay Rays also swept. My wife's Milwaukee Brew Crew also swept. Ryan, do you think there might be a format change in the works for the Major League Baseball playoffs?
No, just win, baby.
Just win, baby. All right, Al. Well, you know, I tend to agree with you. Baseball, it seems like to me, more than any other sport, probably, is all about when you get hot. And getting hot at the right time, I tell you, the Braves bats have gone ice cold. Now they've gotten some hits, but just not timely hitting. And we're definitely not getting the pitching support we'd like to see. But I'm optimistic, Ryan. I think this is where we turn the beat around right now. What do you think?
Well, and as we record tonight, is the either win or go home.
It's not an elimination game because we're going to win it.
Well, in theory, you win or go home for the Braves. So the good thing is we have Strider on the mound tonight. He actually did pitch very well in the first game.
He did. That one, we did get good pitching there, but the bats didn't help him out.
And
bats are afraid.
Legendarily awesome offense just went cold.
That week off, man? It's that week off. That's rough. That's hard to come back from.
Yeah.
Because we famously did not take a break, and we slumped after the All-Star break too. So it's a similar situation.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, I'm not giving up on my team. I think we have just as good a chance to win tonight and win this series and win the World Series as anybody. As far as I'm concerned, it's nothing right now. Get the bats waking and get the pitching bacon, and to hell with the Phillies fans. And if you're out there and you're a Phillies fan, to hell with you. Just utter trash. Yeah, what I really hope it gets back to Atlanta, because anyways. But anyways, yeah, Braves are breaking my heart. Falcons, way to go,
Don't go
Dez.
breaking my heart. All right.
Way to go, Dez.
Getting up off the mat, answering the bell, answering the critics like yours truly. Hey.
I
Now,
said
again,
this.
it's at home. It's at home. He's undefeated at home through both college and the pros thus far. So I think we should start Taylor Heineke on the road and Dez at home, and we should be good to go. Book that Super Bowl, baby.
And hey man, Dez found this. He found a guy that apparently plays for the Falcons. I believe his name is Kyle Pitts.
I don't think I've heard that name. I'm not familiar with
Haven't
Falcons.
seen him in quite a while. And
No, I thought he
anyways,
retired.
and Dez, to his credit, the ones that he did miss, he put them right on the numbers. As he just had a few drops, and that's not his fault. So way to go, man. And of course, them dogs gonna dog. Woo, 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 woo.
Let the big old geek. We are going for, I don't know if you've seen this, we have tied the University of Tennessee's regular season SEC wins record from the 1930s or whenever the hell Tennessee was good. and we can overtake them if we can only get by Vanderbilt, those Vanderbilt Commodores this weekend. What say you on that one?
We should blow them out, which means we're probably going to beat them by three.
Well, I if it wasn't Vanderbilt, I would agree with you because ever since they bailed on us in 2020 and cost us our senior night, Kirby has not forgotten that. He's been keeping receipts. They have not scored. I don't think they scored a point on us since. We have beat the ever-loving anchors off of them. Let's say, it's been crazy to watch the past couple of years, in particular, as we have established dominance on these young men. So.
Yeah. So, but anyways, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook at Army of Smartness. And of course, email that Gmail, armyofsmartness@gmail.com. If you have any comments, good comments, bad comments, suggestions, and hey, give us a 5-star review while you're at it.
Particularly if you are a Philadelphia Phillies fan, address your commentary to Ryan, although his views do represent those of the Army of Smartness,
And if you
by the
are a
way.
Phillies fan, chances are I can't read it because all of you are illiterate. So, anyways, moving on to Mr. Charles Manson Punk.
Yes, Cancer Machine Punk.
We have Mr. Punk, who apparently has reached out to WWE
Allegedly.
to see if he could get some work. And WWE said, thanks, but no thanks.
Oh
That is, of
no.
course, according to Meltzer. And as we know, things can change, but right now it's not today. Thoughts?
In the
Ready?
immortal words of LA Knight, nah. And it's funny, I still self-identify, and I believe you do too, at least in a professional capacity, obviously, as a CM Punk fan. And even we're like, Now, again, I think there's money to be made there, and we've laid that out in a limited basis. I think that waiting for the heat to die down might be the wrong thing to do. But I understand that the merger of WWE and UFC or TKO is still fairly new, so you want to keep your variables to a minimum. I can understand that as well. And I can't help but wonder if Triple H still has a little bit of hard feelings.
Perhaps a bit of consternation. But yeah,
Perhaps.
he moves the needle.
He does.
What can you say? But
That.
a lot of times that needle is cancer that he's injecting to your
My goodness.
company.
Not adrenaline in your soul, but cancer in your veins.
No, this is straight up it's the Green Mile. Like it's the yeah, not doing
Now,
that.
I did start it, so it's my fault. I did start us on this tonight, but I'm kind of done with comparing CM Punk to cancer, comparing anybody to cancer, really. 'Cause no one's going to die here. This isn't lethal. It's an irritating situation that you can acquire. cancer is an overstatement. Let's say CM Punk is the herpes of pro wrestling, not cancer, but just an annoying and embarrassing situation, more so than a potentially lethal one. What say you, Ryan?
I think it could be potentially lethal, which I suppose back in the day herpes could too. But
well, any untreated sore could, obviously. Yeah. Still could.
Speaking of,
let's not call people cancers, probably.
Well, speaking of treating sores, Tony Khan over here has been rather active on Twix. And of
picking
course,
at scabs.
Definitely talking about Twitter X. Of course, this is all related to the ratings war that we had on Tuesday night between NXT and AEW. Of course, AEW was preempted by Major League Baseball, which was going on TBS. Which, by the way, I want to say that TBS's production is top notch.
It's very good.
And yeah. I think that announcer may be a Braves fan.
Well, I would certainly hope so, given where TBS is. And honestly, how good is it to see baseball on TBS? I mean, my goodness. Growing up as we did in the heart of Braves country, America's team was on live and exciting color every night on Turner
broadcasting. And how nostalgic it is to have wrestling preempted by the Braves.
Right? Oh, man, that took me right back to day the 605 on the superstation, if you will.
That brought a
tear to a glass eye, as they say.
But as Meltzer has stated, Tony Khan does not clear his tweets with AEW PR, but apparently nobody had a problem with it. Yeah, sure.
Now, is this left Twix or right Twix that he's on? I don't know which one.
I don't know. It's two for me and none for you. But anyway, so Tony Khan has stated that there was a decades-long streak of that was broken.
This is so dumb.
A show featuring John Cena and Undertaker got less than a million viewers, or averaged less than a million viewers, rather. One problem with that. Undertaker was not advertised. Tony, your show got 300,000 less than that show.
Yeah. That's the part where I really take issue. Like, dude, you still got your ass beat. Okay. What is that?
Now, granted, I mean, Tony, I 100% believe that WWE didn't necessarily book this to be a war, but there was no chance in hell that Triple H was going to lose it. So, John Cena, get down there. Cody Rhodes, get down there. Undertaker, get down there. Paul Heyman, get down there. And so, yeah, they really loaded it up with their prime talent. The funny part is some of that talent was in AEW a year or two ago. Speaking of which, Jade Cargill was there. It's not only that, but he made a few digs at Vince and, of course, saying that Vince has shot his shot a couple of times over these past few years. Look, man, if you're playing a character, I get it. This is actually you. Come on, man. McMahon. Vince McMahon is not going to respond because Vince McMahon doesn't even know you exist, or he's going to make you think he doesn't know. But to Tony's credit, it did get a lot of traction. Got a lot of views, and hey, we're talking about it. So I guess to that end, maybe it worked, and maybe he's a genius, and I don't know.
You wouldn't be the only one who doesn't know it if he was.
But yeah, I mean, it's like me going up to Bryce Harper and saying, yeah, well, you struck out your first at bat.
Right. What a loser.
Yeah. What a little bitch.
Right.
Now I'll say that he still is a little bitch. But
You can say that. That's a clown comment, bro.
Yeah, I'll just keep saying it. But I said it before, so all good.
All right, well, there you go.
But anyways, of course, Adam Copeland, aka Edge, is made his first appearance on AEW TV. And he and Christian had a nice tender moment on there until Christian says the big no-no, telling Adam to go F himself.
Oh my goodness.
This is on TBS during a live show, and it went through.
Former home of America's team, I want to add.
Yeah. Former home of Saturday morning cartoons.
We're talking about the home of Captain MF and Planet. And you're going to just drop F bombs on it? What are we doing?
Exactly. So, yeah. Thoughts on that?
Well, if ever there were a time to use it, and I'm not going to defend its use. Now, presumably, Christian Cage, Jay Riso would have thought, or Russo. I never remember if it's Riso or Russo because I'm not a creep. presumably, he must have thought that the 7 second delay, you know, the bleeper guy would get it. I assume that's probably what he thought. But at the same time, I'm not defending saying the F-bomb on national television, on an interstate television broadcast. However, if you're going to do it once and make it impactful, and this is an impactful moment for such a thing.
Yeah, I. This is, which by the way, Mr. Copeland had his first match in AEW, and of course beat Luchasaurus. But hey, you know, it made a nice little segment. People are talking about it, so maybe it works. Speaking of which, in segments, we've got Ava Rain. This, of course, being the daughter of Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Paul Heyman, in a very interesting segment on NXT talking about the bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
It is a rather overt segment talking about the bloodline, and it's Heyman just holding up this big sticker that's on the back of his phone saying bloodline, mm-hmm. and then talking to it. You can't tell what they're saying, of course. Heyman, of course, not dyeing his hair anymore. I think he needs to. I think it looks better. Dyed. Because, damn, he looks old. And.
Well, he only looks old because he isn't.
Yeah, but I prefer the black hair. But this can be sort of interesting. And I think this could kind of be the angle that gives The Rock and Roman a pathway either to Royal Rumble or WrestleMania or whatever, because keep in mind, The Rock is technically not blood related to the Anoa'is.
Technically. I mean, who's going to quibble about little things like blood relations and a bloodline storyline?
And Nia Jax is also not technically blood related to the Anoa'is. She is related to The Rock's mother, who was adopted by
the Maivias.
Chief Maivia. I think that this could be an interesting angle. The bloodline
You're not
saying,
blood, Oos.
You're not blood.
You're not blood, Oos.
And, you know, I thought for the longest time that Haku was a part of Anoa'i. He's not.
No, but if he says he is, he is. They're not going to tell him.
He absolutely is, yes, sir.
he just shows up at the family reunion. Like, yeah, there, yeah, hey, bud. Good to see you.
He literally just, no, he's just, they grew up on the same island and he was there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Which, hey.
Well, it's not that big of an island.
Yeah. Samoa's not very big. But it's interesting. So I think that this could be a pathway to get them all involved.
Mm-hmm.
I question whether Ava is ready for that, but
you're
we'll
gonna find out.
We'll see. What do you think, JD?
Well, I'm glad they're doing something with her because she's been in NXT for a while now, has she not?
She just had her first match like a year ago.
Like a year ago? Okay. Well, that's That's a fair amount of time. So I'm glad to see they're doing something with her. Clearly, if they are, then I think that means they are, pleased with how she's progressed. And yeah, you know, it's one of those things where they always talk about the name will get you your foot in the door, but you got to earn your spot. And maybe it's even harder on you as a second and third generation. And I guess in her case, fourth generation now, in-ring performer. So nice to see her, have a shot. And of course, anytime they pour a little Paul Heyman on it, they believe in it, except for maybe Curtis Axel. So I'm excited to see how that pans out for her. And I'm more excited about the Bloodline storyline than I've been in a while, particularly if this whole Cody Rhodes is now early 90s Sting thing pans out and he keeps getting screwed over by the Horsemen or Bloodline in this scenario. Maybe we're back on for WrestleMania. They can try to correct their mistake. That, honestly, I thought I was beginning to think that I was losing steam and that was just going to have been a wasted opportunity for Cody.
If there's one thing that WWE has been better at over the last 3 to 4 years over AEW, it's building baby faces.
Which is hard. Yeah.
It is surprisingly hard to get an over baby face. When you think about what Cody, LA Knight, you've got Jey Uso. You've got, I'd still say that Sammy's still there. You've got a bunch of people. I mean, Lashley is a contender for the title. I mean, they have built enough baby faces now that Roman, and maybe it's because Roman is gone for a little while, so they can feature these guys more. But Roman has 7 or 8 people that could feasibly take him down. So he might be champion until 2025. But
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Hell, why not? Anyways, I think be interested to see where it goes. And if it's anybody other than Cody Rhodes takes him down, I'll be upset. But anyways.
Yeah, I'd be very upset.
On to our main event of the evening. We're, of course, talking about the Raw from October 9th, 2000.
Mm.
23 years ago.
My goodness gracious.
This really makes me feel old. Mm. And, well, anyways, we're, of course, talking about this is the angle in which Stone Cold Steve Austin was ran over by a car a year prior. And it was almost quite a build of whodunit for a while. And of course, this is the show where the criminal mastermind himself or herself is revealed. And of course, they involved the police. They involved investigators who literally their job is to find out who done it. And of course, there is but one man that can actually do it. It's not the police.
It's not even
the one,
Sting.
It's not the one with years of experience in investigating. By God, it's Mick Foley.
So, getting right down to the nitty gritty.
So Mick Foley spends this whole show doing detective work, and sort of gets mixed reaction on that. By the way, spoiler alert, it's Rikishi.
But why? Why would he do such a thing?
He did it for The Rock.
He did it for the people?
Yeah, there's actually quite a few things going on this episode of Raw, and I distinctly remember being on pins and needles watching this growing up. I'm like, oh, who was it? Had to be The Rock. Had to be, Triple H or somebody like that. And it's Rikishi. And I'm like, what?
What? Yeah.
But anyways, so Rikishi, we'll start from the beginning. So Shawn Michaels is returns and has been training and saying that he's going to come back. And at the time that they were sort of angling for a Triple H match at WrestleMania, I can't remember if they did it on this one or did it later, but I know it ends up happening. Even Michael's the everybody on the episode of Raw here is pointing the finger at The Rock. He's the one that ran over Stone Cold Steve Austin. It is his car that did it.
Which Rikishi would obviously have the keys to. See, it all holds together. It's a good angle.
Yeah, but anyways, Lita actually pins Jackie in a hardcore match using a fire extinguisher and a cookie sheet. It was quite a creative way to end Jackie's reign of terror there. But JD, what do you know about weddings and honeymoons?
I know that they are best kept brief and cheap, at least for the wedding part. What about yourself? What do you know about them? What do you know about them? I've at least had one of each.
I have I have crashed quite a few.
There you go. Not
well, anyway, mine, though. Anyways, did you know that Miss Deborah and Stone Cold Steve Austin were officially married at this point?
I knew they were at some point. I don't remember exactly when it happened, but I knew it had happened by WrestleMania the next year because that was part of the buildup. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, apparently Deborah may have wanted Stone Cold to be home more and
Okay.
might have actually been the one that ran over The Rock.
Oh,
Or
yeah,
excuse
could
me,
be.
Stone Cold.
Yeah, well, she might. Why not both?
Yeah,
While you're at it.
Oh, back it up. Back it up.
Yep.
And Deborah, not known for her acting skills.
Well,
known for a few things. Two things.
She has a certain compensating gifts, I would say.
Meltzer says Deborah's acting is so bad it makes Linda McMahon look like Meryl Streep and Stephanie look like Sandra Bullock.
Oh, I love it. You gotta love it. That's mean.
So, what about you, JD? Are you a fan of Steve Blackman?
Actually, I was a big fan of Steve Blackman. I liked the Lethal Weapon, as they called him. I thought that was a badass gimmick, and I thought he was a badass too. I mean, just look at that. As Vince McMahon would say in the 80s, he is really put together, was in this era. But, you know, he went for the simplistic sort of kickboxer, blood sport type of look with the baggy, I guess, sweatpants? Or I don't know what the material was. It looked weird. But, you know, just kind of some martial arts pants, and that was his thing. He couldn't talk to save his life. God bless him. He also, I remember, was he with Too Cool? Or who was it trying to make him dance? It was awful, just brutal. Like, he did
yeah,
actually a fairly impressive moonwalk.
That was with when he was in Head Cheese.
Okay.
And they moonwalked with Too Cool.
That's what it was. Okay. I knew it was something like that, but yeah,
they danced rather, and he moonwalked.
We have a Steve Blackman in a non-title, non-hardcore match. It seems odd for your hardcore champion, Steve Blackman, but here we are against, I believe, the record-setting hardcore champion with a like 27 reigns or something crazy like that. Raven, did I have that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we've got, you know, being a non-hardcore match, I guess both of these guys are kind of a fish out of water. But that's at Raven's request. And of course, he's always got his own agenda at play here. I don't know what else to say about it. It was a short match, just under 3 minutes. At the end, Raven goes for whip, Blackman reverses, and Raven leapfrog over him, but runs into a pump kick from Blackman that gets the 1, 2, and 3. You would have thought, especially during this era, that this would have been a hardcore match because, you know, that's really what was that kind of at its apex at this point. Because, you know, this is on TNN now, right? So they had already had their flirtation with ECW on TNN. So ECW was still sort of a quasi-going concern, right?
Sure.
All right. Dynamite drop in. Moving on, Mick Foley investigating some more. And he finally gets down what I thought this was it. This was the real culprit right here. Linda McMahon, who assumes that Mick is talking about Austin. But Mick Foley says he just wants to cover all the bases. Very Columbo-esque, you know, hey, just a moment of your time. That kind of situation. Very unassuming. Linda looks him in the eye and denies running Austin over. But Foley points out that he found a hotel registry from Detroit with Linda's name on it in the night in question. Linda McMahon, of course, no strangers to downtown Detroit hotels. As she says, she conducts a lot of business on pay-per-view nights, and that's where the pay-per-view was. That's where all the action was in Detroit on the night in question. So, you know, Foley does have to admit that the Stone Cold has sold the most merchandise. But also, who would that benefit then? If Austin's out, who's now selling the most merch, Linda? And of course, the answer comes back, ROCK in the USA, The Rock. The plot thickens here a bit, Ryan, does it not?
It sure does, JD. And in the meantime, we've got Benoit and X-Pac taking on Jericho and Triple H, and which had a very good match until Jericho just slipped and ooped himself on the ropes and had a weak finish on that and was pinned by Benoit.
That was a whoopsie.
Yeah, there was just there. Anyways, moving on, there was Hardy's taking on Lowdown. Lowdown was one that I completely forgot about.
Oh, is that Chaz?
Yeah.
From the Headbangers?
Yeah.
Or Thrash? Whatever.
No, it's Chaz. He was Mosh.
He was Mosh. That's right. He was Mosh. Yeah. I forgot about, I mean, I remember it now, but like, I forgot they were called Lowdown. I remember them tagging, but I've totally forgotten that's what they called themselves. Oh, yeah. Man. Late 90s, early 2000s wrestling was a very strange place.
Yeah. Well, anyways, Hardys get the win. Now, this next one was surprisingly one of the better ones of the night.
Mm-hmm.
When Al Snow taking on Test. What do you think about that, JD?
Well, I thought Test proved once again why WWE should bring him back and maybe have an affair with Stephanie angle going on there. Sorry, Bill. It was fine. Probably, I would say maybe better than you would think, better than it should have been. European title on the line. Al Snow with Head, Trish Stratus with Test, and so therefore also possibly with Head. Kidding. Trish is a nice lady. William Regal joins us on commentary, probably the highlight of the entire spectacle. Snow comes out wearing a T-Birds jacket and soap on a rope. Apparently he's prison Al. I don't remember this at all. Do you remember that?
He's supposed to be representing Greece, like the country.
That's, because he's the champion of all of Europe. That's right. God, I forgot about that.
He comes
that.
Out dressed like a T-Bird.
Yes. Oh, man. I completely forgot. I remember him talking about that now. He's the champion of all of Europe. And he wants to represent a different European country.
Oh, God. Have you heard Al Snow's voice today?
Not yet. Not today, no.
No, I mean, like what he sounds like now.
I have, but it doesn't strike me as what you're going for here. But what he looks like is certainly striking today.
Oh, he looks great, but he sounds like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's
been biting the filters off of those cowboy killers.
I'm telling you what, dude, it's as good as he looks physically. That I don't know what's up with his voice. But I hope he's all right, but he just doesn't sound... Have you watched Wrestlers on Netflix?
No, it's on my to-do list.
Yeah, I don't have Netflix.
Yeah, I need to watch it. Well, I will watch it, and then I will have my children draw illustrations of it for you.
And I'll talk like this.
Maybe, you know, just give me your Netflix login.
No, they've been cracking down on that. So.
Yeah, no, that's why I can't use that anymore. But anyways, so but yeah, the Test and Al Snow was that was an interesting, you know, I'm looking throughout this whole card here.
Yeah, I wish you would.
I see people that would have been way better than Rikishi.
No.
I mean,
it's a shot at Rikishi right out of the game.
Nothing against Rikishi. It's just
what do you have against Rikishi?
Nothing at all. I met Rikishi. He's a very nice man.
He seems very nice, except for the running over people with cars. That seems mean.
Well, yeah, just watch out. But, yeah, I just Test would have been good. I mean, you've got Chris Benoit on here. You've got
He'd never hurt a fly. What are you talking about?
that's not funny.
Yeah, that's too soon.
I mean, Eddie Guerrero's on the card. I mean, and you went with Rikishi? Okay.
Yeah, it kind of leaves you scrambling on that one.
All this build up, and you get a guy who, respectfully to Rikishi, I mean, Kishi had been there for, well, in one form or another throughout the
Right.
previous, what, 10
Decade,
years?
yeah, at
And
least.
it just, I don't. Well, you got Kurt Angle on here, and you went with Rikishi. Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's not wasn't great,
Something
frankly.
tells me that they had to have, they either had that angle and had no plan whatsoever, or they had
Right.
a plan and it fell through.
Well, let me ask you this. Yeah, it certainly seems like plan B, but let me ask you this. Would Russo have been around for the beginning of the storyline? So he wrote the beginning, but not the end. Like, obviously, he would be gone by this point.
Yeah, he would have been there for the beginning of it.
Maybe
Because
that's it. I mean, Cornette talks about in TNA, Vince would come up with the storylines, Russo would come up with the storylines, but then they would have to put the matches together. And he's like, well, that's like someone starting, chapter one of a murder mystery, and now you got to finish the rest of it. What are you supposed to do? So, yeah, maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But, kind of grasping at straws there.
But anyways, next match you got Eddie in China, and who Eddie, well, Eddie doing Eddie things, instead of coming to the ring, and GTV, which was a thing, at one point it was supposed to be Gold Dust TV, and ended up, I guess, I want to say that Dustin ended up, I think he was having drug problems or something at the time, had to leave. So GTV just sort of went by the wayside at that point in time. And anyways, the GTV comes on, shows Guerrero coming out of the shower with Mandy and Victoria.
Well, excuse me. Wait, who's Mandy?
I don't know. But anyways, crowd cheered, and Guerrero big time for betraying China, and China did the best acting job of her life, acting pissed. So realistic as she stood there in this trance, according to Meltzer. And Guerrero ended up getting pinned and chasing after China, who threw down her engagement ring and drove off.
Oh, so that's mean.
Gunn told off Guerrero, and Guerrero ended up hitting him with a bottle.
There you have it.
That's how you silence all that. Just hit them
There
with a
you go.
bottle. I don't bitch. I don't argue. I just hit that bitch with a bottle. But yeah, the crowd at this point in time is probably 70% male. Today it's probably 88% male. On the
Well, there
low
are more
on the
options now. It's not just two options anymore, so
on the
it could be further diluted.
on the low slide, anyways. But anyways, yeah, they're gonna be cheering on sleeping with girls, and maybe not so much being faithful to
Faithful
your
to China.
woman, and
Yeah.
especially since they know it's a show. But anyways, so the main event of the evening is Rock and Rikishi taking on Kane and Kurt Angle.
Rakishi, if
I
you will,
think
versus.
Kurt at this point is nursing an injury. So he's
Yeah.
very limited at this point in time.
Would not surprise me because, I mean, he stayed hurt and he worked hurt. That's what you know about Kurt.
But Kane choke slam Rikishi, and then choke slammed Angle, who wanted to tag and get the pin. Kane walked out, and Angle hit the Olympic slam on Rikishi, but Rock gave Angle the rock bottom, and Rikishi sat on him for the pin. 7 minutes,
Yay.
23 seconds. Not Angle's best work, but he's hurt and
Well, he's limited and it's a
limited.
tag team, so everything's kind of filtered out,
And
diffused, I
it's
guess.
literally just there to give you a segue into the Foley coming out, which he did.
Yeah, there you
And Foley is teasing that he's gonna finger
go. He's gonna finger. Excuse me. Yeah,
I don't like saying that. He's gonna finger the rock. But anyways, But anyways, but at the last minute, said Rock wasn't guilty and said it was Rikishi. Because Scotty Too Hotty talked about partying with Rikishi in Detroit that night, and Foley said how Rikishi wasn't even in the WWF at the time.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is not true. He was actually doing dark matches, but he wasn't there as Rikishi. And then Rikishi admitted it, saying, I did it for The Rock. And I did it on my own.
Boom.
And did it to help The Rock, because the WWF never let the Islanders headline. And the stars were always great white hopes like Buddy Rogers and Bruno Sammartino, Bob Backlund. We're going to skip Pedro Morales and go to Hulk Hogan.
Forget that, yeah.
And Steve Austin. And by getting rid of Austin, it gave The Rock the opportunity to be the top star. Never mind the fact that The Rock had been the champion a couple times by then. And,
unimportant, unimportant. Details.
And oh, by the way, Yokozuna was a
I was gonna say Yokozuna also Island Boy. Whether that's Samoa or Japan, take the real or the imaginary. He's actually from California, but that's not the point. But he was in the Anoa'i family. So
yeah, I mean the whole idea of the Rock Austin feud was that Austin is the champion that the company doesn't want. Rock is the champion that they do want.
The corporate champion.
He's leaving out about 2 years worth of shit.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
So it's
that's why I say this could not have been plan A.
No, I don't think there just couldn't have been any plan. I don't think. It's just like, Rikishi, he's over. Let's go with him.
Sure, why not? And I have to point out here, bear in mind, we're talking about October of 2000. So even this is better than what WCW is putting on at this point. Yeah. So you want to talk about no plan? Whew, baby.
Yeah, I just and this leads to a match between obviously Rikishi and Stone Cold that was rather forgettable, and that's it. You know, there was a whole year or well over a year's worth of build. Stone Cold Steve Austin, I mean, he was legitimately injured. They had to come up with an angle to get him off, and he said, hey, hit me with a car. Okay. And so they hit him with a car. I want to know who actually was driving that car.
I'm sure a stunt driver of some description, or Vince, one of the two. I'd believe either.
I'd be interested to know that. Okay. I got to remember to ask that. And Rikishi at this point is not a spry chicken.
No.
He's probably got, you know, obviously a few more years left, but he's not
he's like closer to the end of his career than the beginning.
There were so many more younger guys that they could have put in the spot to put him over, but I just don't think it's almost as if Vince wasn't interested in putting anybody else over. He had his two guys, and that's it.
Yeah, you know, machine.
I mean, Triple H, you know, Shawn Michaels. I mean, hell, even Mick Foley.
Was out by this point.
Well, he came back.
He's also well established. Maybe he wouldn't come back for another 2 years after this.
Well, he was back there that night. He could have just came back. So yeah, I ran some bitch over. He beat me at WrestleMania.
Well, yeah, but that wouldn't lead to a match though.
Could have. It would have been a whole lot better in their first one. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I do want to point out, I found this to be interesting, that Rulon Gardner, of course, being the Olympic hero, the other Olympic hero of the Greco-Roman variety in wrestling, gold medalist, big to-do back in this day. He was in negotiations to come to the WWF, but he was asking for $1 million signing bonus and $2 million per year guaranteed. So that they broke off negotiations.
Yeah, that'll about do it. In fairness to Rulon Gardner, what else are you going to do to make money as an Olympic wrestler now that your Olympic glory is behind you? I think that may have been too big of an ask.
And Kurt Angle is, you cannot compare the two. Kurt Angle is an Olympic gold medalist.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, but that's not enough.
Again, get you in the door. Get your foot in the door.
It'll get you in the door. And I don't think Kurt had a big contract when he came in. I think he was offered one initially. He turned it down.
And, well, he said he couldn't lose first. Like he said, I can never lose. And they're like, okay, we'll see you later.
And so he came back begging because he couldn't find anything else to do. So they started him at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. I think he was on a developmental contract initially.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of my favorite stories is Tom Pritchard trying to blow him up. And that's not going to happen.
That didn't work out too hot for old Dr. Tom.
No.
He is a doctor. You'd think he'd know better.
Well, an Olympic athlete. You know, Tom Pritchard, I met Tom, very, very good, very nice guy, but an Olympic athlete, he is not. Very in great shape. Could hang with all the best of them, but being an Olympic gold medalist, that is a whole different ball game.
That's next level, as they say.
It is boss level for sure. But anyways, I think there is some. I would have liked to see what Rulon could have done. I think that there might have been something there with him. Team angle with Rulon Gardner.
Now it's what might have been.
Yeah. But anyways, that's our episode for today. Again, guys, follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook at Army of Smartness and email that Gmail, armyofsmartness@gmail.com. JD, you got anything else you want to add here?
No, go Braves, chop on. Let's go Dawgs, keep it going. Let's keep the momentum running.
All right, and let's rise up and beat the Commanders on Sunday as well.
That's so. Right. Red Stallions, roar up.
But that'll never get old. Anyways.
I love it so much.
Guys, thank you all so much. I really appreciate it. Give us that 5-star review. If you have any questions, comments, nasty comments, let me hear it. Let JD hear it.
Yeah, all the way from Philadelphia.
All the way from Philly, and screw you guys. I'm going home. I will bid you all adieu. Adieu.